share our thoughts on that, about what he taught, the subject of the deity of Christ. Not long ago, I did verse by verse, and I worked all the way through the book of Matthew. And one of the themes, when you do like a verse by verse and you go through a whole book, the shorter books, you can see like small themes because they're short, 3-4 chapters. But when you go through like Matthew, was there 28 chapters? You see like really these themes that go through them. And one of the themes I got from Matthew is all the places that they worshiped Jesus. It just kind of jumped out at me. And if you know from the Old Testament, it was a sin to worship anything but God. And so I was just going to share. And if I read one of these verses that you already read, let me know. Matthew 8:2. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. I believe it's 7 or 8 times in the book of Matthew Christ is worshipped, and not one time is anyone corrected by him for worshipping him. Whereas like Peter, you know, remember when men tried to worship Peter, what did he say?
I'm thinking about Acts when he's saying, like, why do you look at me as if I did this by my own piety?
Yeah. Basically, they got down in reverence. He's like, get up, I'm just a man. Jesus never rebukes anybody for worshiping him. So Matthew 8:2, that leper came back and that leper worshiped him. Again, I think it's like 7 or 8 times in Matthew. That's proof that he is God, because he receives worship, and God alone is to be worshipped.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. What say you, Brother Kuo? Any thoughts on this? You and I talked about this not long ago, huh?
I don't remember us talking about it, honestly, but something that really stuck, I really like that verse in Matthew 23:34. I send unto you prophets. I've never seen that before, so that kind of stuck out to me. Like, he's saying, literally, I send unto you prophets.
Read that for us.
Okay. Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them shall ye kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city.
Yeah. I said, I'm talking about putting yourself back in the Old Testament, huh?
Oh, yeah. And another verse that came to mind was when Peter was asking the Lord to show us the Father. It's in John 14. I'll start at verse 7. But actually, I'll start at verse 5. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? So that came to my mind as well as one Lord, one faith, one baptism. The Lord is one Lord. It's kind of a mystery how it's three in one, but
anyway. Verses. Yeah, it was way in the beginning when you and I met, and we went over the doctrine of the three in one, and we covered Christ's deity in that discussion.
Oh, yeah.
Was a while ago, but yeah. What say you, Brother Zelos? I know there must be some things percolating in your theological mind.
Oh, yeah. If you want another argument or proof from the book of James, James 1:27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, to keep himself unspotted from the world. God and the Father. Sometimes they talk about God the Father. Now he's writing about God and the Father.
Yeah.
This is God. He's not the Father, but he's God.
Yeah, difference of terms.
Yeah, so it's interesting. And then this is another one from John. I think the entire if anyone doubts this and they read the Gospel of John and they still doubt it and they haven't read the Gospel of John. yeah. John 11:25. I mean, no one but God, like no prophet ever would have made a statement like this. I mean, somebody was just a human being and maybe had the Spirit of God, they would never have made a statement like this. And I love this passage, it's one of my favorites. So Lazarus is dead and Jesus comes, and then Martha says unto Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatever you're going to ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha says unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? I mean, if he wasn't God, could he have said that? I mean, you're either a lunatic or a liar, or you are who you say you are.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Kind of going along that line, how about 1 John 3:5? No, 1 John 3:16. It says, hereby we perceive the love of God, because he laid down his life for us.
I don't know how much
clearer you can get than that. The love of God, he laid down his life. That's why I always tell people that God came. You know, they say, there's a lot of bad theology going around where they say God is a child abuser, he abused his son, he, you know, had his own son butchered. And I'm like, you don't get it, do you? God sent himself. He didn't send his only son or his oldest son into a burning building. He went in himself and got the job done. And they kind of look at me and I go, Christ is God. And they kind of make the separation because man has corrupted this theology over and over. And yeah, I like that. Hereby we perceive the love of God because he laid down his life for us. Jesus Christ was God. He sent himself. He's not a child abuser.
Yeah, and one more thought. You might want to put this. You use Jude 1:5 for the writing of Jude, but I think Jude 1:4 might have been a better verse for you in your study. He says, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you look it up, the word that they translate as and, that it's another King James thing. It should be even. It's kind of like yeah. In Peter, when you used 2 Peter 1, I think it was, it's denying the only Lord God, even our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Thank
Amen.
You, brother.
I mean, it's a King James thing. I don't know why they do it, but the word means even or also or and. It can mean, but even in context of what he's saying, even makes more sense.
Amen. Any other verses, Brother Kuo, or any other thoughts on this?
No. I mean, nothing's coming to mind for me. It was a very good study. I really enjoyed it.
I want to offer, I'm not sure, I don't think you read this one. If you did, Brother Perkos, correct me. Titus 2:13. I'm not sure if you read it. You read so many scriptures. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. There's another verse that says it just like that. Our great God and our Savior. They're one and the same. They're three in one.
I did not use that verse.
Okay, that's another one. I think you used another one that sounds just like it.
I think that was probably 1 Timothy 3:16.
Yep.
Thank you very
anything
much,
else, brother. Anything else, Brother Zelos?
Yeah, there's lots in Scripture. Matthew 28:18-20, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big statement.
Yep, that is.
Come on, and then he's, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. That's a good verse.
What about similar to that?
Go ahead.
Did you use Titus 2?
I just read Titus 2. I think it's 13.
Oh, yeah, that was the one then. I was wondering if it was Timothy, Titus. Yeah, that's another good one. Like, scripture's just peppered with this. You can't really...
You have to be willfully blind to not see it.
So here's a question. Why do you think they deny it?
Wait, what's the question? It destroys the character of God.
Wait, who do you think...
Why do I think who denies what?
A lot of the oneness Pentecostals, a lot of the, they're a completely different scenario than here, but Hebrew Roots movements, the JWs, all of these people, why is there such an attack, even Islam, on the deity of Christ? What would be some possible theological reason Satan would have, well, besides like the absolutely obvious, but going deeper here as well for denying this?
Well, I mean,
I think Brother Kevin has already, sorry to interrupt, Brother Kevin's already touched on one, because of the sacrifice of what God did. That could be like one really important point. Like, what others could we come up with?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's all rooted behind Satan, the enemy, and he has the spirit of Antichrist, right?
I just looked up that verse.
He is the spirit of Antichrist. So anyone that denies that Christ is who he said he is the spirit of Antichrist, which is going to literally come in a, it appears in scripture, a flesh form man in the future. So could it be, here's one, so I would add to it Antichrist spirit, then I would add another one. Jesus said, many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ. So we always talk about that. They could be saying Jesus is the Christ and deceive. They could be saying they're the Christ and deceive. I think the last time I read it, around the world, there's like 35 different men that claim they're Jesus Christ at one given time. I was like a few years ago, I read that. There's like a whole bunch of people that say, oh, I'm the renewed incarnation of Jesus Christ. So how about if they have these people that are claiming to be Christ or denying the deity of Christ, is that not setting up what's coming in the future? A new one-world religion that, as Brother Pergo said, it attacks the deity and nature of Christ, and so they do that to set up their new one-world religion.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Brother Kuo, any thoughts on why someone would deny, a cult group or anybody, would deny the deity of Christ? I have another really good one, but what say you?
I would say it also comes back to man can't work his way to heaven. So denying that Jesus is God, come in the flesh, that he was the perfect sacrifice for our sins and made a way for us to inherit eternal life, that's like a no-go with, I think, pretty much all of man's religions that say you have to do good, you have to, if you do, like you said, Brother Zelos, earlier with the Muslim man you were talking to, like doing a good deed for like a cat and he ended up in heaven or something like that, and you were talking about good deeds can't get you to heaven. So it's like totally opposite of what man comes up with in that regard.
Yeah, so what, am I framing this right? So man, we use this all the time, so all the religions of the world for the most part are always trying to reach up to God by their good works and their religious rites, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep.
They're trying to do good works, and in order for them to do their good works for salvation, they don't want there to be a Christ, because doesn't that shoot down their good works to get them salvation?
I have a scripture to read. Psalm.
Now, wait, I'm sorry, brother. Hold on. Is that what you're saying, Brother Kuo? If Christ is God and he sacrificed his life for us, doesn't that shoot in the foot their man-made access to God? Is that what you're saying? That doesn't make sense if that's what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. And what it does to folks is it makes them see that there's no way that they can work their way to heaven, and the pride of man is so wicked,
right?
They just don't want to admit that. Yeah.
Yep. Great. I knew that's where you were going. Yeah. Thank you. Go ahead, Brother Burgos. You were going to read a scripture.
Psalm 49, verses 7 and 8. None of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. Basically saying, we never have sufficient funds to get back our life from the pit. That's
Amen.
Where Christ comes in.
Yeah. Yeah, amen, exactly. Any thoughts of your own question, Brother Zelos? Why people do it?
Yeah, I think it also ties into what Paul was writing. I forget, is it 2 Corinthians 11? About those who are going to come and preach a false Jesus, a false gospel, and a false spirit.
Yep.
I mean, okay, for example, if I'm talking about Brother Tupos, the street preacher with his wife and the gospel, then you know what I'm talking about, right? If I started talking about Brother Tupos in Australia with who's a truck driver, would I be talking about the same guy?
Talking about the same guy? No.
No,
well, there you go. If you're talking about Jesus, the Son of God, who is God, you're talking about the biblical Savior. If you start talking about Jesus, the prophet, who isn't God, you just ain't talking about the same guy. You got a false Jesus.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's a total false. And that's what we run up against in all the churchianity systems and the cult, other cults, like the Mormons, the Jehovah Witnesses. They have a complete false Jesus, as Paul warned about. And that's predicted was going to happen in the end times, and we've seen it flare up. Have you brothers ever thought about this? For centuries, there was not nearly so many false Christianity flavors. Oh, there was false ones, not like there is today. It's just been in the last 500 years since Luther broke. So basically, you know, think about this. The Roman Catholics were wicked, wicked people that had killed you and tortured you for going against them. And while none of us would condone that, they had a certain effect on the world. Guess what that effect was?
They spread Jesus Christ.
No, they didn't. I mean, they have a false, total false savior. No, what they did was their authority, hunting down and killing heretics, kept a lot of false religious people from, or organizations from sprouting up. Think about it. Think about it. If you were under the Pope's reign, and you decided to start a false religion, they hunt you down and kill you and burn you at the stake. I'm not saying it was biblical. I'm not saying it was right. I'm just saying it kind of served that purpose. And then once Martin Luther broke out, which I don't believe that was all of God at all. Martin Luther was a murderous heretic, believed in killing Jews, had a false gospel, had a false Jesus. But once he broke out, then he made the way, and all the Protestants broke out, and Calvinism broke out, and then out of Calvinism broke out, and then out of that broke Anabaptists, and out of that broke all these other groups. And just think about this. In the last 500 years, I would say, I'm going to take a guess, before Luther, the Reformation, I don't think you could go in history and list probably... I don't know how many you could list. I don't think you could list hardly any legitimate movements that were organizations of following Christ in different forms other than the Roman Catholics. You had the Orthodox, and they were always fighting against the Catholics, and they split about the year 1000, and we're on the other side of the world. But anyway, now, 500 years later, look at, there's like 40,000 flavors. This has all happened in the last 500 years. Have you ever pondered that?
Yeah, there are, if you want to go historically, like, there were movements, like, Martin Luther gets credited with the Reformation a lot, but historically it was like John Huss and the Bohemians who started it, like, a good 100 years before Luther even showed up on the scene.
Oh yeah. No, there was all types of mini groups, but hopefully you see my point. After that Reformation, that's where we got to 40,000 flavors over the last 500 years. Before that, nothing like that. Roman Catholicism, and then some cults here and there that they didn't stamp out. But I'm talking about in the Christian world, it's really, really propagated in the last 200 years. That's why I think we are headed towards the last days. Because you had the Protestants come out, then you had the evangelicals, and then about the 1800s, you started getting Church of Nazarene, Church of Christ, and then since the 1900s, it's just been with the internet coming up, you've got even more groups. So I believe part of attacking the deity of Christ is a sign that we're in the last days, and all these false groups with their false Jesus are propagating all over the place. That's kind of what my point was. It hasn't always been like this. 40,000 different flavors of Christianity. It wasn't. It was the Roman Catholic Church ruling with an iron rod and killing you, and a few spatterings of groups that they didn't totally stamp out. And then 500 years ago, poof, it's like the Tower of Babel type of situation where they all scattered and they all spread into their flavor of false Jesus at every turn. And it's exactly what Brother Zello said. It's a false Jesus. Don't be deceived by that. It is definitely a false Jesus. When people claim Jesus, find out who they're talking about. 100 times out of 101, it's going to be a false Savior.
Yeah, I'd like to toss in another scripture verse here. This is both actually the Old and the New Testament. It's a direct quotation from Psalm 45 in Hebrews 1 that you could use, as well as Isaiah, to basically prove that the Old Testament, and you could use David as well as Isaiah to prove the deity of Christ. I got to read Hebrews 1:8, but it is literally word for word a direct quotation from Psalm 45. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows.
Yeah. That's an awesome verse.
This is all over the scriptures.
Yeah. I have another reason why, what I was going to say was why people attack the deity of Christ. Again, it is the spirit of Antichrist. Satan has a particular interest in denying who Christ is because Satan wants to be ruler on earth. And so he's got to dethrone Christ who came to the earth. He's got to dethrone him so he can rise up in his Antichrist false prophet system and rule the earth one day until Christ comes again. So he's got to do that through all these false teachers to try to usurp what God is eventually going to take away from him. For a season, he is going to usurp all the kingdoms are his. So that's another reason why. It's a direct attack on the deity of Christ because that's what Satan wants on earth. He wants his kingdom on earth versus Christ coming back to rule in flaming fire.
Amen.
But he's not going to stop. read the end of the book. We win, brothers. Christ is victorious. So anything else on the deity of Christ and Brother Fergus's article or teaching?
I'd like to go into this a little bit. Well, no. He did go into this. Where's that verse in Zechariah again, brother?
Zechariah, that was...
Isn't it 2:14?
It's Zechariah 14, I believe.
Or 14 or 2:14?
It's Zechariah 14.
3 and 4.
I got it here. It's Zechariah 14, 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm. 3 and 4.
Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which was before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof, toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azal. Yea, ye shall flee, like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. That's talking about the coming of our Lord, ain't it? And
sure sounds like
the Lord our God, huh?
Sure sounds like it to me.
Yeah, interesting. It's talking about Yahweh our God is going to come. And we know that Jesus is going to come with all his saints. So Jesus is definitely God.
Yeah, and he's not coming back to Missouri, as Joseph Smith of the Mormons says. He's coming back to Israel. And I point everybody to that. Like, I witnessed to an atheist man today, and I said, the proof of the Bible is there. I said, 2,000 years ago, goat herders said, in the end of days, Israel will be a nation again and will be surrounded by your enemies, and then the end will come, there'll be war. And I said, look at the world today and the map. And he just kind of looked down. What can he say? I'm like, how did the goat herders know that 2,000 years ago? Because the Holy Spirit of God told them, and it's true. There's no book like the Bible that's prophetic in that way. So praise God for that.
Amen.
All right, brothers. I guess we'll leave it there. Thank you, Brother Purgos. Well,